Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
There we go.
Perfectly.
Right. Spot on. Right. I'm probably just going to jump straight into it,
Yeah.
I think. Right. Okay. So, welcome to the first installment of the Lounge Talk podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Lewis.
Hi, everybody. My name is Lewis.
As you can tell from that great introduction, his name is Lewis. Not Louis,
Definitely
Lewis.
nice.
Yeah. Right,
It sounds
so
not like my name isn't Lewis, and that I've just kind of gone
we've made it up like as we've gone along. So anyway, brief history lesson. Me and Lewis went to uni. We spent 3 years together, three pretty damn good years, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, they were really good.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that was not awkward.
It would have been funny if I just come on to slate them though.
Yeah.
Just to slate 3 years.
Oh God, that would have been that would have ended my career before I started. So anyway, we did a I had a brief podcast on YouTube. It was called the King's Court Podcast. Feel free to go and check that out if you want to kind of get a better backstory of some of our previous stuff. And yeah, as you can tell, or kind of, you probably couldn't tell, but still, we're going to talk about our uni life and basically recap the 3 years and what's changed between graduation and now.
Yeah, it's crazy to think it's been 8 months, but literally we're around a year since we left, in
Yeah,
theory.
pretty much. Was it start of June or end of May?
Yeah,
We.
June. June sounds
Wow. That's
about.
crazy. That's mad to think. Like,
It's flown in. It's flown.
it's gone really quick, stupidly quick. So, I think the best place for us to start would be in the first year. So, if that's obviously cool with you.
Yeah, that's absolutely
Yeah.
fine.
Sweet. So, what. How. Yeah, okay. We'll start with that. How did you end up going or applying to Glyndŵr in the first place?
Quite a funny story. So originally I was actually going to do another course somewhere else, and my
Right.
whole application wasn't made for what I ended up doing at Glyndŵr. My
Right.
original application was to do engineering somewhere else.
Yeah.
I completely 180'd and made a new application, and it was cheaper to go to university in Wales.
Oh, that's, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
I mean,
Any, go on.
it does, but I would just want to say to anyone now, always, no matter what the cost, go to whatever uni you actually want to go to. Not that I didn't want to go to the uni I went to,
Yeah,
just.
I mean, we'll get into that towards the end, I imagine, or towards the third year. I mean, that's just a hint of how downhill this podcast goes. So, oh yeah, I'd like to just get this little message across. This is a very chilled out podcast. It's nothing serious at all. Well, nothing stupidly serious anyway.
We say that
So
until
please feel
it
free to.
descends.
Just descends into politics and why Trump is the greatest leader since fucking Bush. I don't know. That was just controversy right there. No. But yeah, feel free to kick back, crack a can, make sure you're nice and relaxed, and get ready for some easy listening. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so where were we? I completely went off tangent then. I feel like a
So
fucking
essentially, I think
dork.
you're about to tell people why you ended up where you ended up.
Oh, yeah, shit. Right, so I was in sixth form. I went to sixth form, not college, because I felt like that was the better choice for me. Anyway, and yeah, I got rejected in my first offer. I applied for Gloucester, Swansea, and Wrexham. And Aberystwyth. I got rejected from Aberystwyth. And then the day later, I got what was it called? An unconditional offer from Glyndŵr. So I was like, ah, I'm just going to go there. And then kind of gave up on my exams, and that was it.
Seems a lot of people, like, I don't mean this offensively, but got a lot of unconditional offers from our uni.
Oh, yeah. I realised that now looking back.
I didn't, and nobody on my course did, but a lot of people on the creative side seemed to get a lot of unconditional.
They needed people. How big was your lecture class in the end?
I'd say about 40.
Yeah, see, we had like 12.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But
they
needed people. And, you know, I mean, I'm grateful for the opportunity, but I could, you know, it wasn't the greatest course ever. So I basically studied animation, visual effects, and game art, which is kind of like out there anyway. And the lecturers weren't great until the last year. And the plans they told me for after we were all leaving was, I wish I was going now rather than then.
Yeah, there's been a lot of changes.
In terms of course, like, obviously not people, because damn, it was a good 3 years.
No, it was a great 3 years.
Yeah. So, you rocked up, like, the week before me, didn't you?
So, basically, there were 2 weeks. There was one which was, like, a welcome week, and then, which is where I turned up on the first day. So, I would have moved in, I know the exact day, on the 14th of September 2014.
Right.
And essentially, there was a pre sort of freshers week, which is what I turned up for. And you turned up for the freshers week.
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, I could only get there on the Saturday. So I kind of missed all the good stuff. So
You missed everything that was good, basically.
Yeah. So I missed that infamous bowling night. If you want to chat about that, feel free.
That was the first night we were there, and they threw a bowling thing, but what they had done is they got everybody to meet up. So we're talking thousands of students.
Yeah.
And then they kind of said, well, anyone who doesn't want to go, just go out and enjoy the town or the city.
Yeah.
And everybody who wants to go kind of just get into... So basically you had to form groups of people that you thought looked like, you know what I mean, look like you.
Like the people you want to spend the next 3 years with.
Yeah, but luckily for me, I had already been there the night before, and so you'd met loads of people already.
Yeah.
And so I was in with a group of lads, and all of the lads that I ended up being, well, at least half of them, I did end up staying friends with.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but then obviously, like anything, that after that week, things change, you know what I mean? And you start to settle down with your group.
I think... If anyone is listening to this who is looking to go to uni, I feel like that settling down period will set up the rest of, like, your uni tenure.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think it's so key to, you know, make sure you're really in with the group, because I think it can make or break your time, like, as crazy as that sounds. But I feel like if you're going to end up with people... say you don't really get on with, you're just kind of like roommates with them in like halls or whatever, it's gonna hold you back, I feel, more than anything.
Yeah, there are a lot. Here's the thing, and like, I know this is going to sound weird and maybe a lot of people will disagree, but you'll meet a lot of people in that first week, and because you're all, I know this is going to sound horrible, desperate to meet people, you'll meet a lot of people who you'll think, oh, I'm going to be friends with these for the whole 3 years, and you're not going to be friends at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've met a lot of people like that, where people where I thought, oh, these, I'm going to know these guys for 3 years, and in the end, like, I maybe talked to them that week, and some of them, every time I saw them after, it was like we didn't know each other.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Which is sad, but it's also, it's kind of for the best, because if you have too many friends, you start to kind of struggle to juggle.
I was gonna say, you end up in a situation where you've got to like almost pick between what to do and when. It almost like holds you back in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that first week, I remember that god awful flat party.
That's where I found you. I swear you had like some shorts on and a can of dark fruit, and I was like, oh, this kid's tragic. Yeah. I was like,
ah, God. No, that was horrific. I'm just going to outright say it. It was a room full of... Oh, God. Just so bad.
Freshers well at all.
Oh, really?
Like, if I'm completely honest, the only thing I remember was essentially I went to a nightclub.
Yeah.
Freshers. And basically you get tickets for, say, free entry or whatever.
We go into the reps or whatever.
Yeah, and I handed that. Well, I stupidly handed my ID in when my driver.
Oh my God, I remember that night.
And I remember because obviously anybody who knows, like, you're 18 when you go to uni usually, which is what I was then.
Yeah.
You need an ID, and my only form of ID I had was my driving license. I handed my ticket, and essentially, I remember being in the club. I think it was a phone party, wasn't it?
It was a phone party, yeah. Was it? It was a phone party.
And then I remember coming up to you and saying, oh my God, I've lost my driving license. I need it for this entire week.
Yeah.
And you were like, well, how have you lost it? And I was like, I actually had no idea. And then it kind of clicked. And I think one of the bouncers said, okay, you can have a look. And I had a look. And she put it in the pile with the ticket.
That's so lucky.
It would have gone in the bin the next day.
Not even the next day, end of the night. Could have been like a matter of like 20 minutes and it could have been gone. Who knows?
But if I hadn't got that back, I probably wouldn't have been able to go out because it would have took weeks for another one to come.
Well, yeah. Yeah. You got change of address as well.
Yeah. And then I've got to explain what happened to it in the best way.
I lost it, I think would be the best way. Just keep it as open and vague.
Strict with you don't, then they're like, well, you kind of just lost it. How'd you lose it? And do you think anyone has it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Because there was one fella that we knew, I think you know him, I won't mention any names, but he actually turned up with no form of identification.
Oh my God.
I remember the first night we went out, tried to go to a Spoons, couldn't get him because he didn't have it. We went to every place, and eventually we did find a place that managed to get him in.
That place was known as... Oh, God.
It was the worst...
pain of my life.
It was the place anyone could drink at, but you wouldn't want to drink at.
But they had karaoke downstairs, so everything was okay.
Oh, don't get me started on karaoke.
It's like, I know no other place that's open... What was it? 11 a.m. until 4 a.m. every day.
Yeah, I think it cut its hours because I remember watching football matches in there with you.
We used to just... It was horrible. They served food at one point and how they got... I don't even know. It's just shocking.
It's weird. It's weird looking back, and that's one of the places that's still standing because there were a lot of places that kind of came and went while we were there.
Yeah, well, not so much the places or the venues, more the nights.
Yeah.
So we had, like, especially put on nights run by, like, outside, whatever you want to call it. And, yeah, can we name it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, Beans, isn't it?
Yeah, Student Beans it was called. Or
whatever it was. You know. Beans, we called it.
I think that they were a big night out in a place Chester. That was close to us, yeah, Chester.
Yeah.
And they essentially started coming over to ours. And they were actually, this is the thing, in the first year we thought they were horrendous. We thought, oh, these nights are bad. They were like, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, or Onesie Party, or, you know.
Just generic students. Oh, man, don't get me started on that Where's Wally night. Good God. Was that the night we were pretending to be... We had, like, the fake basketball and we were dunking on
LeBron everyone. James. If you ever dunked, you had to finish your entire drink. And most people were on shots, so it was okay. But I was on, like, San Miguel. That was an expensive night, that.
Yeah, but no, that we had everyone doing that. That was one of the, like... The rare times we started, like, a trend, almost.
Yeah. I remember because I refused. Basically, on that night, you got given these like T-shirts. And when I say that, like, they were... So say you get, you know, Primark T-shirts and things like that where you can see through them.
Yeah, it was the one of those.
Come on. They were like that, but they felt like paper. And they were like, where's Wally? And you wore one. And I was like, I refuse to wear it.
So you wore it around your neck like a posh country boy.
Yeah, literally, I thought, well, this is better than not wearing it. I'm just going to put it around me.
Oh, God. And then the hell started.
Oh. I had a bad night that night.
Yeah. I think we all did. Wasn't that... Which night was it where I had the dyslexic interview in the morning?
That was around... That was just after my birthday. So it would have been about January,
February. Was it refreshers? Though. Oh, right.
Yeah, it was refreshers.
I thought so. So... I went to a Welsh speaking school. So when it comes to like writing essays and stuff in English, I wasn't as good at it as I was in Welsh. So when it came to writing essays in uni, I kind of explained to them that, you know, I'm not going to be great at this and whatever. So I think it came to like my first assignment that was like a written assignment, and I handed it in like a day late. And it wasn't because of, like, any specific reason. I just think it was... I don't even know what it was.
Well, you only had to get, in too much. Basically, in the first year, you only had to pass. So it really didn't matter when you handed them in, as long as you got 40%.
No, as long as you gave it in, they didn't care. It was more of, like, a getting used to things and moving on your own for the first time type gig.
Yeah, definitely.
And... I remember the next day after I'd given it in, they came over with the marks and stuff, and they were just like, if you feel like you need extra time, we've set you up a meeting with the person who finds out if you know, if you're dyslexic or whatever. And I was like, okay, I really don't feel like I am, but if you feel like you need to set it up, then set it up. So I set it up. We had refreshes the night before. which one was this? Was this the death rounds night?
Yeah, so this, yeah.
So I'm going to let you explain it. But...
Right. So we went to this club, and I guess this is on the student night. It was like £1 for like a Jaeger bomb, £1 for a Young bomb, £1 for a shot of Sambuca, like all the colourful drinks, the VKs, whatever. So the three of us go out. No, nobody, I think everyone, I swear everyone was still home or something. Had everyone gone home or just nobody fancied going out?
I think that, you know, everyone had gone home for some reason.
That's the first thing that rings my bell. So anyway, there was only three of us. So we go out, we're going to try, it was a separate, we talked about beans earlier. This was a separate company called Bare Naked.
No, Bare Naked started in the second year.
This would have just been liquid.
This would have just been
just liquid. Yeah. So just liquid student night.
It was called like 99 pence quids in or something.
Was it? I swear, quids in rings a bell. I swear it was called quids in. Yeah. So quids in. You get shitty Jaeger bombs, a shot, whatever, anything for a quid. So we get to the bar, we realise this, and... Was it you who had the smart idea to line them all up?
Well, yeah, because it was working out at like £7 for three people.
£7 for three people to get like...
Absolutely annihilated.
Yeah, pretty much. And so we started doing rounds. So we did... We all lined everything up on the bar. We had a Jaeger bomb, a shot of Sambuca. It was Sambuca, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Sambuca.
I swear there was something else.
No, it was, right, and I'll just quickly explain this. It was something called Young Bomb or something, which was like a really
Basically, it's the cheap Jaeger bomb.
That literally tasted like petrol or diesel.
Yeah, it was horrendous. I'm having flashbacks as we speak.
Yeah, it was horrendous, because I've got a beer mat that they gave me, and I've still got it to this day.
No way.
I hoard everything like that I get given.
That's awesome. So it was a Young Bomb, followed by a shot of Sambuca.
Yeah, and then it was like VK and something else.
A VK and something else. Didn't we have like the rainbow bombs or whatever, Skittles bomb?
Oh, maybe.
It was something in between.
I think it was two shots and a drink, in a sense.
Yeah. In essence.
Yeah.
So we go hard. It's £8 or whatever for the three of us to get all. Was it? Oh, it's like £12 a round for get everything.
£8 in theory, like, not including yourself.
Yeah. And so we're stood at the bar. You knock back the young bomb, then you knock back the shot, and then you down the whatever next, and then you knock back the whole bottle of VK. Now, the one standout thing for me this night was trying to convince our third friend to tactical chunder. Because he's a North William boy, really thick accent. I don't think I can do it, boys.
Yeah, it was full when you on. Think of Wales, it's the most Welsh accent.
That accent, yeah. So think of all that. I completely forgot that I had a dyslexia test in the morning. So we leave the club, what, 3-4?
Yeah, but just, about that.
He left early. He had to go.
He left early. He just couldn't handle it, in all fairness. Like, he even bought us a last round before he left.
Yeah, at least he stayed to his promise, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I remember, I don't remember the walk, but I remember getting home at like 5 or 6. I swear it was that late.
You couldn't even get your shoes off, could you? Someone had to.
Right. So my flatmates hear me stumbling through. Obviously, I'm making a racket. They had to unlock my door for me, walk me inside. Then I fell through my bathroom door onto the floor, got into bed fully clothed, and they had to take my shoes off. Anyway, one of these people got on with really well in the first year, and what I can't believe, I swear, I do you remember me telling you what I said to her?
No.
Anyway, I think I screamed something at her anyway.
It wasn't nice, let's put it that way.
No, I don't really want to relay it. Anyway, so yeah, and then I rock up to this dyslexia test 9 a.m. sharp. Walk through the door.
Because I couldn't have gone.
I have no idea. I mean, you spewed all over the wall.
Oh, I was a job to clean that as well.
Oh, I swear still there to this day.
It maybe is, maybe I just
yeah. Imprint your legacy. So I rock up this test. I don't know how the lady couldn't smell the booze on me. And we sit there, and then she basically just, she wasn't seeing if I was dyslexic. She was a therapist. She like got into my head, made me consider everything, and God knows how I just stayed active.
That's what they do, though. Like, they're always looking for anything that isn't the problem, I find, at uni. I never went for anything there.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, sat there. I was like, the first question she asked is, like, do you think you're dyslexic? I was like, no. She's like, why are you here? I was like, well, they told me to come.
Yeah.
I got told to come here. And she's like, right, well, what else do you think it could be? And I was like, I don't really know. And because obviously they got like a set a lot of time, obviously they sat there. I'm still pissed trying to explain God knows what. And yeah, that was just an event. I honestly can't think of anything other done just fucked up to explain it.
I think the thing is, because you... Here's the thing with Junior, is because you're so used to when you're in sixth form or when you're in school, having your kind of your hand held for everything and them more or less saying, right, you've got to go here, you're in school anyway, so you're going to go.
Yeah.
At uni, you're living by yourself. And when they want you to do things, it means you actually have to go out of your way, if that makes sense.
To do them. Yeah.
So for you, it wasn't like, I'm in lesson, I'm going to have to go anyway. It was, I've got to now get up, find the time, get there.
Yeah.
Just which, is to... which is what I always struggled with.
Yeah. I think the frustrating thing about that was, okay, one, I probably shouldn't have gone out the night before, but that's besides the point in this one. that's uni for you. You shouldn't have gone out the night before. You always regret it.
Ironically, if you'd stayed in, you probably wouldn't have actually gone, because you would have gone to bed so late.
Oh, I know.
That you would have just not woke up.
Yeah. Well, I was ridiculous for that in the first year, especially towards the end.
Yeah.
Going to sleep at like 9 a.m.
I wasn't even... There were days where I just wasn't sleeping. I mean, like, I was going 3 to 4 days just... And I wasn't even, like, working or anything. I was just dossing about. Just
chilling about. Yeah.
That was my biggest problem in the first year is... And I think everybody who goes will find it is... You'll spend so much time actually doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you're forced to go out and spend all your money and find things to do.
That was, to be fair, yeah. That's, like, pretty, that's so spot on. You don't, like, realize, until you look back now, like, in the moment, obviously, you don't really think much about it. But when you look back, you realize, like, God, I spent so much. Like, we used to just go to the arcade and sit there on the fucking...
It wasn't like even we were going because we enjoyed it. No. We were just going because we had nothing to do and we were spending £10. Yeah. And then, like, let's be realistic. Neither of us could cook. Like, we couldn't cook. No. Like, we even struggled with ready meals. So what we would do is we were eating McDonald's every other night. So you're spending £5 there. And then you're going to Wetherspoons. Yeah. And you're spending £5. And before you know it, you're spending,
We're
spending like £70-80 a week. And that's probably low end.
Yeah, just and that's just on like takeaway food, not let alone like, you know, obviously the nights out. We had like student nights every week. Yeah. Obviously like clothes, if you know, clothes. In the first year we had to pay for our own washing and stuff. So if you're doing your washing weekly, that was like a fiver.
Oh man, I was the worst. I remember when I first went in to wash my clothes and
yeah.
I'd never washed clothes before. Like, I had no idea what they were. And there was this girl who I had met and she was like a really nice lass. I think she was a few years older. And I remember looking at me and saying, why are you putting your dry clothes into the tumble dryer? I was like, it's the washing machine. Because I had one of those little, you know, pods.
Take your pod down. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh God. It's quite like surreal looking back, like things like that, where you realize at 18, that's in theory like scary to know that you have to do everything yourself.
Yeah,
is what I'm trying to get. I was horrific for it.
Here's the worst thing about it is, like, I know that, like, all these things we're talking about, like, oh, cooking and washing and just making sure you go to appointments and, you know, like, just finding things to do. They all sound like first world problems or like, oh, you should have known that before you went.
I really didn't know.
And although we should have, here's the thing is, like, when you've got to learn it all at once... I feel like I'm making maybe this a bit bigger than it is, but it's a lot harder. I feel like to try and figure it all out at once.
Yeah. Well, put it this way. Some people, like, I'm not afraid to admit, I got pretty much, like, I got my hand held through everything, like, growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Until, you know, okay, there was the odd time, like, my parents were in home, I could chuck a ready meal in or whatever. But when it came to like, I did my chores and stuff, but it wasn't like doing the washing or ironing or anything like that. It was all mowing the lawn and then putting the clothes from the washing machine onto like the line to dry or whatever. It wasn't like the first hand stuff.
Yeah, and like I kind of regret now not thinking harder and being proactive and trying to learn before I went, like, five minutes just to, okay, this is how you work it. And I felt like in the first year, I feel you'll probably agree, I was so out of my depth in just everything.
Yeah.
Like, not so much the education side, and it's so funny because, like, we're talking about uni and we're barely even talking about the education because, you know what, it's so minimal to the bigger... Yeah. To the bigger picture.
The bigger picture is you go, I find like this is where you become the person you are today. Like that's where you do everything on your, that's where you're on your own 2 feet for the first time. That's where you, the only person relying on you is you.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying go on, sorry.
I don't know how to explain it.
That's what I'm trying to think. It's like, there's not words I can think unless you've kind of like, but then that sounds like really dodgy, but like, unless you've kind of been through it the way we went through it, if that makes any sense.
The best way to describe it is, right, imagine right now you're 17 and you've lived with your parents all your life. Imagine just one day moving out, being in a flat with 7 people you don't know, and then someone saying, you have to do all this now by yourself, all the things that have been done for you. That's literally exactly point to point what it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's great because, a lot of the people are the same age as you and you're all kind of in the same boat. But at the same time, you don't want to go up to someone and say, how do you use a washing machine? Can you help me cook this? I don't even know how long I should put bacon on. I used to just cook it till it was burnt. You know what I mean? At least that way I wasn't getting food poisoning.
No, exactly. Man, it's so strange looking back. And that's just the first year.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's like, you know,
just to recap on the first year, like, because I feel like it's the big kind of points in the first year for us were finding your feet,
and having the most mental nights out we could think of at the time.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to just go to some of the nights out we had, and then we'll kind of wrap the first year up?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I think we'll start with the time we actually went out of our comfort zone and left university.
Oh, do you want to start
with... We went to Chester.
Chester for your birthday.
Yeah, we went to Chester.
Yeah. we hit the strip club.
Oh, you see, I had been to strip clubs that summer. When I turned 18, I wasted all my money in places like that. Because I was that type of guy. I was... a guy who used to just hang around with guys. So the way I used to talk to women was, let's go to a strip club. So that way we don't actually have to put effort in.
Yeah.
So I'd been, obviously you and two of the other friends hadn't.
No.
And yous lot all cracked and literally spent.
Me and one other cracked. The other,
He probably wasn't that interested.
I honestly don't think he was that interested. Either that, or I think finances might have got to him more than we've been led on to believe.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, it's an expensive thing. I mean, I obviously won't give any names to the figures, we're talking a lot of people were spending 500, 600 of all that half. That for a lot of people, that was eating into their rent.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was one night.
Yeah.
£500-600 to the point where you couldn't even eat afterwards.
I remember buying that kid fucking 99p worth of nuggets.
Boy.
And he felt so bad.
It's weird because, like, at the time I thought, oh my, it's such a great thing that we're going away and we're doing something like proper laddish.
Yeah.
But looking back, I wish I hadn't done it now because it really ruined a lot of people for that year. Like, the backlash of going, and I know it's not my fault because I can't hold someone's hand and say, don't spend this. You think you spend too much. Don't drink this.
No. Yeah. But
the fact that it was all my idea and I was like, this is going to be a great idea. And then so many people had so much backlash from that night out, like whether it be just troubles or some people even left uni because it just cracked them.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have done it again.
I feel like you shouldn't take the responsibility. I think we all knew what we were getting into. Like, I don't think you should feel guilty because of what happened, if you get me.
You see, you say that, and it's like, yeah, it's not my fault, but I'll always feel, like, not like it's my fault, but I'll always feel that I should have maybe, I feel like I made it out to be something that it wasn't, and then everyone just bought into that, what's the word, like that philosophy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I ended up going a few times. I think you only went once.
I only went the one time, yeah.
Yeah, I kept going back and forth type thing, because...
Why not, innit?
When you're at uni, you've just got so much spare time, you've got to find things to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And different people you go with. And
yeah.
I think that was the height of the night. But like I say, I think that for a lot of people, and that would have happened in January, that was like their year done.
Yeah.
Because they were just so kind of, not broken, but you know what I mean? They were so damaged from going and spending all of what they did that they couldn't do anything else.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's, that's not the... Knock the nail on that. No, the hammer on the nail. Is that the one? Okay, what's the expression?
You've literally put the nail in the coffin.
Nah, that's the one. Yeah. But yeah, so we had like nights like, I think that was one of the rare times we actually went over to explore Chester. I feel like
that was the only time we did
always
first,
look back. Yeah, we always look back that we should, that's something we should have done more of.
Oh, yeah. Another thing about the first year is thing I want to say, which is weird, is for us, obviously, it was what, as the year came to an end, we actually realised that we had to be proactive and find houses, and I think that's the biggest thing about the first year for me.
A lot of people thought it would get handed to them, and that's why they got stuck in halls.
Which, and to be fair, like, people think, oh, halls is great, but it's really not. It's actually really depressing.
If you're a fresher, it's great, and you're in your first year. That's how you meet the people you're going to be with for the next, few years or whatever. Being the second year or the third year in the same, accommodation as freshers is a really awkward situation, because... you can't bond as strong because you're leaving sooner than them. It's not like they can depend on you for a household if you're going to move out eventually, because you're not going to be there when they need you after you're gone again.
And you have to find people. I think the main big problem with houses and things like that is, right, so you can have a house with 8 people. Like, you can. Yeah. But you don't want it, because this is the main thing, is you need to find people that you can trust and that you know, because the thing is, somebody's going to be that head land or whatever.
Head tenant.
And it all falls on you, and you don't want to be spending your year thinking, I hope someone's not going to wreck this, I hope someone's not going to wreck that. And because you're the person that they're going to come to, and you're going to have it all kind of put on you.
Yeah.
And... because originally, just going around the houses, we originally floated around, we're going to have 8 people houses. Then we kind of moved it down to 5, 6.
4 or 5, yeah.
And then 4. And then we eventually settled on 3.
Yeah. Well, that was an unfortunate situation. Well, it wasn't even unfortunate. It was a matter of, we had deadlines. And unfortunately, as much as it kind of hurts to say, if people can't hit the deadlines, then we're going to kind of have to move on for now.
That's what we did. My biggest mistakes in the first year was, you talk about deadlines and things. I think we felt pressured into getting the house early when we could have actually just held out a bit longer. And I do regret that.
Yeah.
Because the house we ended up getting, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like it.
No.
I wish I'd taken more time and just been proactive about things.
Yeah. I think our thought was, as well, the problem we had was we thought the houses were going to, almost sell out or go off the market for students.
Yeah.
We thought everyone was looking the same time as us, when in reality, there was only, a handful of people looking. And then, obviously, you've got the landlords pressuring you to be like, oh, we've got, three other groups looking at this house or whatever.
Yeah, they're talking a lot of, you know.
BS. I'm basically just trying to get you in, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one thing you'll find, and if I can take anything, maybe this is just our experiences, or not just a lot of people's experiences, is don't feel like you have to, the first house you see, I've got to take it because someone else will take it. If they're saying that there's interest, there might be, but don't take it as this house is going to be gone if you don't sign a line then.
Yeah.
You will feel like you have to do things. And looking back now, obviously we've got the benefit of hindsight, you don't. You have more time, and make sure that it's right for you and right for everyone.
Yeah.
It's a commitment. At the end of the day, it's a commitment for an entire year when it comes to houses.
It is, and at 19 years of age, for what all of us were at the time, that's a massive step. Again, when it comes to being on your own two feet, when it comes, you know, like we talked about, not, you know, just now, it's another, you have to do this yourself.
Well, we were dumb in the sense that we kind of were in a honeymoon period of, this was the first time we'd ever looked at houses. So we saw this one and we thought, you know what? It's the first house we've seen. Love it. Let's put the money down on it. And rather than actually being proactive and saying, let's go look at other houses.
I think the problem is we didn't look at, because we looked at other houses. We just didn't look at enough houses.
Yeah, nowhere near enough.
We looked at one other, which was considerably worse in terms of like room sizes and, you know, fairness and stuff like that. But then I say that, and that house we had wasn't exactly like fair on rooms. It was a two-bedroom house. And
it's very hard to please everyone. This is the thing. There's going to be someone who has the master bedroom, the big bedroom, you know what I mean? And then the other people are going to have to scrap over. You know, it's like drawing straws, isn't it? Whoever's got the shortest is getting there.
That's very true at the end of the day. I think it sounds like quite like a doom and gloom podcast, but it's really not.
I think the first show was quite doom and gloom.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's because of the people we met. I think it's because of the decisions we made.
I look at that year, right, as two halves. The first half up until Christmas, I feel was like just everything was so good. Like you couldn't have asked for a better first half to the year.
Well, absolutely.
But then as soon as we had to make big decisions, that's when the cracks started to form.
I've never felt like in the second half of that first year, like the walls were closing in at such a pace, like for those kind of January to May time.
Yeah.
I felt like everything was just completely like, I don't know what the word is, not crumbling. Like it was just moving so fast that you couldn't escape it.
Yeah. Almost like an anxiety attack. That's probably a poor choice of like words, but
I mean, don't get me wrong, I know a lot of people who really the first year broke them, and it really, really, really hurt them. And I'm making it out like, oh, I had such a bad thing. There were some people that I had compared to, I was like living like royalty compared to them type thing.
Yeah.
So like I wouldn't want to degrade, say, other people's that are new situations.
No.
But we all, like I know this is going to sound kind of morbid, but we all kind of have our own struggles, and your struggles are kind of bigger to you than other people's are, if that makes sense.
Well, of course, and that's always going to be the way it is, though.
Because I was upset in the first year over things that I should have. I got upset over really silly things, like things not being open when I wanted them to be open, like the Sainsbury's not being open at 6:30 or something in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to actual legitimate criticisms that I should have had, like the internet not working, for instance, ever.
Yeah, legit ever. It was so bad.
Or my course being horrendous, which is what I thought it was in the first year.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't worried about those things. They were put to the back of my mind. I was more worried about, why can't we have 24-hour supermarkets right next to us? I wish I could go to a 24-hour gym, because the only gyms that we had then were open at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah,
and it's like my priorities were so messed up.
Yeah.
It was unreal. Like, I was completely focused on things that, like, I look back on now and I think, why did I even waste time thinking about them?
Yeah. It's such a... Again, like, I do want to say, like, this podcast isn't to discourage anyone off of going to university. This is our experience. I do want to just point that out. Like, our experiences will be different to other people's. Like, that's just a fact.
But they'll get better, like, one thing, like, kind of like a spoiler. They'll get slightly better, and then sometimes they'll get worse. But you will have high points. Like,
you'll always get like high anything. Points and low points.
You're always going to remember those low points more vivid than you remember the times you had that were fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that night we were on about in Chester where I was like, oh, I regret it and stuff. Like, I don't regret it, like, because I didn't enjoy it. Like, I loved it. It's one of the best nights out I've ever had.
Yeah, I completely...
But I regret it in the sense of, like, looking back on it.
After type thing. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And there are a lot of things I regret. Like, I regret not taking chances to do things. Like, before I went to university, I was... really into athletics. I was a runner. I did a lot, played a lot of sports. And then when I went to uni, it was like, these were all laid out for me to do them and to be able to do three or four different sports and be active.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it because I begrudged paying £40 for a student
membership
of sports.
Yeah.
It's like, I think back and I thought, did I really let £40 stop me joining all those sports teams?
Yeah.
And well, I did.
That was one thing I always regretted, was not showing up to football trials.
Yeah, I wasn't a bad footballer. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm being what's the word, like,
I can vouch for it. There we go. I can vouch for you being a good footballer.
Like, I was good, but I remember I went, basically they organised a game and it was against, like, say not a, like a semi-professional team in Wales type thing.
Lex Grindor on Football Manager.
Yeah, so we played this team and you had, I would say, 20 guys who've never played together. And we're talking like 20 talented footballers, and they didn't give us any time to train or nothing. So I came in, I'd been drinking for 3 weeks.
Everyone's in the same boat. Let's be honest.
I think at that time I was like on the border of kind of £190 with about 70% of it alcohol. But I remember I played half an hour in that game, and I used to run XC like 26 miles.
Yeah.
And after half an hour, I fell like I was going to collapse. Like I was like, I had to get taken. I was like, take me off because I can't do it.
Yeah.
And then I never went back, and I wish I'd gone back.
Yeah, it was definitely a strange one, because, like, I was just there for the pizza.
Oh, yeah. You get all the free stuff of freshies, and you think, oh, this is amazing, and you realise it's the biggest waste of time ever.
Yeah.
All free T-shirts. I didn't even get a free T-shirt. Yeah. Some people have still got theirs.
I have some way. I swear I have. Fresh as 14 or whatever it was, yeah. Student beans. That's the life. Yeah. Anything else you really want to touch on from that first year?
Just a funny story about when you broke.
Oh, please don't.
I'm gonna have to.
You can say it. I still feel bad.
I want to, like, when I say it. I know this is gonna make you feel really bad, but this was like my lowest point at university. So I'll tell the story in full, and if you want to interject anything, you can. So we all had like a room basically, and we all had dorm. You know what I mean? Like whatever you want to call it, and we used to like go up to each other's rooms, like say it was free, because, and at the time I think I was the only person who had a PlayStation and had brought his telly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had the telly. I had the 360 though, the Xbox 360. Yeah.
So we all came up to mine, and me being a gracious host was like, well, I'll let everyone come up to mine, and you know, we can all play FIFA, or we can all play Need for Speed, or we can all do something as a group. You know, so obviously, you know. I had a drink of water, think, well, let's go and have use the toilet. So I come back in, and I see these two, like, fools sniggering about something, and I'm like, oh, it's probably nothing. Like, because we were going out, I think we were going to Tesco or for a meal.
It wasn't more of a snigger, it was a panic.
And it, essentially,
it was
a pure
panic.
I'll skip all that, and basically, I'll get to the point where I came back. So I came back maybe at 11. Would that be fair?
Yeah.
So say we left at about 4 or 5. Because I think that is when we left, around that time.
Possibly. It was dark when we left, so it might have been about 5, 6.
But essentially, it was still operating times. Keep that in mind. It was operating times for our accommodation.
Yeah.
I come back. I think I did sing for about 10 minutes. And then I went and laid on my bed. I was about to text people, see if I wanted to do anything. So I lay on my bed.
Rolled out.
And essentially, I started to like move down. I thought, what's happened? Then I rolled off, and I thought, I haven't just broke my bed, have I? I thought, I have not just snapped my bed because I didn't even jump on it. So I got back on it, rolled off again. So I'm like, all right, lift the mattress up. There is a V. There is a V touching the floor from where my entire frame has been snapped.
This is
so I'm thinking, there's something that is not right here. I'm thinking, there's something is not right here. I have not just broken it. So I dropped it in the... We had, like, WhatsApp groups back then, which is how we lived.
Yeah.
It was, like, life support WhatsApp. Yeah. And I was like, my bed's broken. I don't know. It's broken. And then, which one of you was... It was like, actually, we had a wrestle and your bed snapped.
So I tried to put it in, like... Basically, what had happened was I'd pretended to get Josh in a headlock, and he picked me up and threw me onto the bed. That is exactly what happened. He will say different. That is the correct story. And the bed snapped. Like, the metal frame snapped. And, yeah, I kind of was the one, because I think Josh had read it. I left it about 5 minutes. I was like, okay, shit. That happened.
But this is the thing. This is where the story gets worse, because
I'm not bothered that
the bed was broken. But essentially, because they left it so late, it was a Friday night. Weekend. So I went down and said, look, my bed's broke. I can't sleep on it because I will just keep rolling off. And the way rooms were made, it wasn't like you could just take your mattress and stick it on the floor type gig, because it just wasn't enough room. No.
Someone's the fellow was like, caved or whatever, and like, yeah.
He came up, looked at it, and he went, when did it happen? I went, maybe about 4 or 5. And he went, well, if you'd said then, we'd have got you a new frame. And then just kind of walked out. I was like, so what am I meant to do? And he was like, mate, I don't know. And I was like, well,
yeah.
I was like, that's fantastic help for starters. I was like, do you think I'll be able to get one tomorrow? And he went, nah, earliest you're going to be able to get one is Monday. I was like, so I didn't sleep for 4 days or something, because I didn't sleep from that Friday to that Monday.
Yeah.
And I was...
Livid is an understatement, isn't it?
I wasn't, right? I wasn't mad. I think what made me more mad is the fact that I was so irritated because I had things planned for that weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, I'm going to have to do them all with no sleep.
Yeah.
And then I went to play poker and I just couldn't even speak because I was literally so like good. A zombie. I was actually like zombies. I was worse than a zombie.
Yeah, I was going to say zombies would have been a good looking you type thing.
And that, I think that I never felt, even to this day, like lower than what I felt that weekend. Here's the thing. It's like, it wasn't so much like I tried sleeping on the floor type thing. It wasn't like I didn't try things like that.
Yeah.
When I say that these carpets were like putting your face against a Gillette razor blade, they were that sharp.
They were horrible.
And I remember on the Monday, I remember when he was putting it up because he had to make it from scratch, and I went into my bathroom and I laid against the floor and I spewed, and then I kind of just passed out and closed the door, and I was like, I never realised how... I felt like I've been exhausted, but I've never been exhausted like I felt that night. Like, I felt like I can't explain the feeling.
Yeah, well, it's not one that comes across like, you know, that's not like your average feeling though, is it? Like,
but this is the thing, it's like I've spent days where I haven't slept, but it was like, it was almost like just the fact that I couldn't sleep, or like it wasn't that I had that choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what really, 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 really did me in. And
yeah,
like looking back, if only you told me, I swear, I'll always hold that.
I know.
Because, that's literally how I can end off the first year. That is the only thing. If I got amnesia tomorrow, I would still remember that. It's so embedded in my brain that you what broke my bed did not tell me.
Yeah. I think it was I remember just being like I said, it was the panic originally, and then the when is the right time to say your bed exploded or we exploded your bed.
Here's the thing, right? I would have been furious, but because it would have been repaired, here's another thing I didn't tell them. Because I was a nice person, an even nicer person, I thought, oh, I'm not going to get charged. It's broken. Well, I did get charged about £200, and then I paid it myself.
I got money out of you in the end.
I know, but I didn't want to. I hate taking money off people. And like, I think that's what set me over the edge was when I got that thing through that was like £200. That was like
the invoice.
I remember I was putting so much pressure on the paper, I could feel it ripping from the top.
Yeah.
And we're talking like this is one of those things where it comes in the big kind of, oh, it's got like a whole terms and conditions. And I could feel it ripping because I wasn't even mad. I was beyond mad.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I did with that paper. In fact, you know what? I might even still have it somewhere.
Probably.
If I do, I'm going to burn it.
If you just bad memories. It's like, yeah, just yeah. I was going to say, if you've got like a strip club receipt from that night somewhere.
I have a card from it. Like one of the cards.
The card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes me sound really weird.
I've got the receipt. I think you gave me the receipt. Yeah, no, I know where it is. It's in my shoebox.
No, you all needed a receipt because we booked it. We're the sort of fellas who book strip clubs, you know what I mean? We don't just turn up.
Yeah, no.
We like people to know we're coming.
Yeah. Expect us.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that pretty much sums up the first year, unless there's anything you want to add.
I just want to say, Base Hunt Alive, I know you were in there, but goddamn. Yeah, God damn. But the one thing is,
we could spend like 3 hours talking about just that first year. You could spend 3 hours talking about just any year because so much happened. Like, we've missed so much. Well, like, there was Lethal Bizzle Nights. There was, you know, so much stuff happened in that first year. Yeah. But like, so much of it now seems irrelevant.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was just about to suggest. I mean, we've been speaking for almost an hour straight, and this is just the first year. So if you'd be down, would you want to do a podcast per year and then a review at the end?
Yeah, I'd definitely do something like that.
I'm just thinking now, because... But if we were to get into the rest of this, I mean, that's probably another hour for the second year, because, again, so much happened.
In fact, I think the second year would be way more than an hour.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I feel like... There's never... A year of more happiness and tragedy than that second year of uni.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
I feel like I'm doing one of those, you know, those synopsis about spoilers. It's like a TV catalogue, like the extreme happiness and the extreme lows.
It's definitely going to make people tune into the next one.
That freaking year.
Just.
I can't even explain it.
That was.
Oh, that year.
God.
I mean, to add something else to the first year, I mean, like you say, I don't want people to think that, like, we're basically just slagging off uni. And I know that we've not about uni at all, basically.
No.
We've more talked about
our experiences.
Yeah. And here's the thing. In your first year, the amount of time you'll actually focus on uni will be less than 20%.
knowing that you only need a 40 in each assignment is like a godsend.
I used to turn up to class tests and I'd already been drinking, probably.
Because it wouldn't surprise me, to be honest.
I only needed 40%. Like, I'd go out the night before and I'd kind of roll in at 6 o'clock. And I'm the sort of person who, like, I won't sleep, but I'll have a shower type thing.
Just to try and get the scent of, like,
I will make sure that I am pristine clean. Yeah. I'll make sure that I'm pristine clean, but I wouldn't sleep at all. And I'd still be hammered. And I would turn up and I would still pass. The first year, I know it's going to sound horrible. If you don't pass it and you've put effort in, don't go back. I know that's a horrible thing to say. And I hate to say it. Because you will.
I completely agree. Not gonna sugarcoat it.
You'll struggle. You will struggle over enough shirts. But then again, I think it depends what mindset you're in when you're doing all this stuff. I mean, I didn't care. I don't think you cared. And I think it's a horrible thing to admit when you're spending as much money as we did.
Yeah.
We so didn't, like, uni wasn't, we might as well have not been at uni.
It was like a year in Ibiza. But
it was always raining.
It was always raining. Right. So think of, like, you go to Ibiza for a week, say, and you do all this partying. At uni, you do it for, 8 months? It doesn't get old. You're paying that amount of money. But at the end of the day, you're getting... I'm trying to word this right now.
You basically paid
for a week
to sit around for a year.
Yeah, basically.
And you will feel robbed. Yeah. Like...
Absolutely.
Here's the thing. We didn't join any societies. This is the thing. We were really social, but we weren't social in that we actually used what the uni had. We didn't play sports. We didn't use societies.
The only thing we did use was the replacement student bar, because we didn't have a student bar.
That was horrendous. Like, I don't want to be once again, we're making it sound so bad.
Bad.
But
in all fairness, if you are listening to this and you are in uni, there's a 9 out of 10 chance that your uni has a student bar. Like, that's just a fact.
See, we had the nicest looking student bar in the world, but it was the worst student bar in the world.
Oh, God, it was...
It looked like something you'd find off. You know those, like, programs where all those posh kids are in, like, Manhattan?
Yeah.
It was like one of those type places.
It was, wasn't it? You walk in, there's a giant-ass long bar on the right.
And they had Relentless on tap.
Oh,
I've never seen anywhere that's had Relentless on tap.
That's... Oh, it's like a quid as well.
I will...
A pint of Relentless every quiz night.
We watch some football in that place.
Oh, God.
That's one of the best things we ever did. Like, we watch all the football we got to watch.
Yeah. Thing is, when we were in that situation where you don't really have, like, access to TV in your accommodation, so I think one of the things we did the most was there's a pub around the corner, so we'd always go and watch. We'd spend the day in the pub, watch the 12 o'clock kickoff and the 4 o'clock kickoff. And if there's a 7, sometimes we'd stay, sometimes we'd go. And that's something we didn't really get to recreate in the second year.
No, you know, basically, when you've got your own house, you don't really want to go out because you want to make use of it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. No,
but in the first year, you didn't want to be in your flat because there were a lot of people you didn't know, or a lot of people that perhaps you didn't get on with, or whatever.
That's one thing we didn't touch on. We both got drawn with really unlucky flats.
Oh, I'll let you go first about yours. Like, right.
Without coming across as, like, a dick, I think is the only way to say it. My flat consisted of Germans. Nothing wrong with the German people at all. But I felt like I couldn't engage because they were only there for a year, for starters. And boy, they could drink. It was scary. But I felt like, because they had their own little community within the uni, because they all came over together to study, you don't really get that vibe.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I was on like the same spec, like the same scale, whereas I got drawn with all the people were from France.
Yeah.
And it's not that you can't get on with them, but there is the obvious very big barrier of language.
The language barrier is obviously key.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If there's five of them, there's no reason they should not just be in French.
Yeah, exactly.
But obviously I can't, so I'm not going to sit there and... Because you don't want to be the person who's just kind of in there. You don't know what's being said.
No. It's quite intimidating, to be honest.
No, it is, because you're not used to it.
It's hard, yeah. Again, I'm not trying to, like, play any, like... You know, this isn't, like, a victim card or anything. Like, I was drawn with these people who don't speak my language. And that's so... not the point. It's more, you can't base the next 3 years off of people who are only going to be there for a year and then that's it. It's going back to that point. And when the community of people kind of congregate in your flat, you don't really want to be there.
No, you don't.
Because that's their social aspect of uni. And yeah, I'd do the same thing if I'd gone over to Germany to study or to France or wherever, and there was a flat full of English Welsh lads, it would be same thing.
We're not saying that that's how we were made to feel, like, cause it wasn't.
No, absolutely not.
It's kind of just like ingrained in you. Ever. Yeah, exactly. There's some of the nicest people I met, but you kind of just yourself, it's almost like you say, maybe anxiety type situation.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, with the way that has to be worded, it's not going to come across, obviously, in the greatest of lights, however you word it. Like, you can't word that in, like, a nice way, which is kind of the upsetting thing. Because regardless of what we want to say, or we know how we feel, anyone who could listen could see it differently.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Here's the thing, just a more or less thing, like, if the best years of your life will be at uni, but you probably will never realise that, if that makes sense.
No.
You'll think there was some of your worst.
Yeah. But
I feel like you say, I feel like we've not painted it in the best of lights.
In the best of lights. Maybe we just had a bad experience. That's the only thing I can really, like, relate to in this whole thing.
Or maybe... I remember you always said to me one thing, and you said, when I went to uni, I thought it was going to be, like, in the movies.
Yeah.
Like in those American frat-style movies and whatnot. And I think this is the problem, is just our generation has been kind of, misled or misinformed as to what uni actually is like.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Because I mean, we've all seen the American Pie films.
I thought it was going to be. And to be fair, absolutely. It is to an extent.
Yeah.
But if you think you're going to go there and you're going to, you know, I don't know, I'm going to be the top dog and I'm going to have 500 friends and everyone's going to know me, it's not going to be like
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not.
You will not know, like, every person you meet, and you will not get on with every person you meet, because that's just the reality of life.
That's just a fact, yeah.
I think if you go to uni for the right reasons, for actually wanting to go, then it's one of the best things you'll ever do. But if you're going under the guise that it's going to be like an American Pie, it's going to be like Project X, it's going to be like...
Those teen movies, then, I think, is the best way to put it. Like, you're probably going for the wrong reasons. And I've told friends here I think one friend said he was jealous of all the like partying and all that. And I was like, he's like, that's what he was considering going for. And I was like, well, no, if you've got a stable job here and you see your mates enough every other weekend or every weekend and you meet up for drinks, it's basically the same thing.
But yeah, absolutely. Literally, you could not put it any better.
No.
He is the main thing that you will experience at uni. He's like, you'll feel like in your first year, like you've become your own person, but you'll also never feel more vulnerable.
No.
You're going to feel absolutely. like there will be silly things, like if you drop a can on the floor and you'll almost feel like crawling into a corner and just giving up. Because little things can break you. Because remember, you haven't got your family there. You haven't got someone there. Like,
no.
That's there to just kind of be your rock or
guide you along. It's just you at the end of the day.
And because you'll think everyone else is being so strong, you'll want to be so strong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I say, there are a lot of people I think were very worse off. Like I say, I can't explain it. But I would say I wasn't bad off. Like, wasn't... Like, I had times where I was upset. I had times where I thought, I just want to go home in the first year.
I had that a few times. And there were times, I think I went home a few weekends just because I could type thing. It was... Sometimes you need to go home to kind of get it brings you back down to earth, I think is the right way to put it.
It does. And this is kind of another really, I know once again, it's another upsetting thing about uni, but I feel like this is one of the main things that you have to kind of tell people is you will fall out of contact with people from home, like your friends.
Oh, of course.
And I feel like that's one thing that I really struggled with.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole of uni but mostly in the first year was you can talk to them and stuff, but you're not seeing them and you're not a part of
the
group.
No.
So there were days where I would go back and although you see them all and you feel like a stranger and it's like these are people I've known for 5, 10
for years. You know, why does it feel weird?
Why does it feel like I'm the outsider? And it kind of because you are the outsider in a way.
Well, yeah.
You've gone off and you've done your thing.
Just because you've gone to uni doesn't mean they've stopped doing what they do. And that, I think that's something I really struggled with.
Absolutely, because you feel like when you've gone away and come back, like the world stood still and that nobody else has progressed and it's only you that's progressed. And when in theory, that's absolute... Like, just not... There couldn't be any further from the truth.
No. Oh, no.
There, like, you are going to feel... Like things, like when you come back, you're gonna feel so out of touch with everyone, and you're gonna really struggle. And I think that's when you like this kind of fills in with the first year is when you go back that summer.
God, that summer was so weird.
You're gonna struggle. You're gonna struggle to reintegrate because remember, for them, it's like I'm back and everyone's gonna want to see me. But for them, it's like this guy, he's just back for 4 months.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's going away again. Why am I going to sit here and waste all my time kind of, just making journeys, like wasting and doing what you want? Because you're going to have all that free time and they're going to be working.
Exactly. That's one thing I think I had like a week or 2 weeks after that first year and then I got back into work and God.
Yeah, I mean, I worked, but I didn't work all of it, but I...
Nah.
If I hadn't worked, I would have cracked. I would have just... I don't know what I'd have done for 4 months.
No.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I want to say something really positive about uni. And like, the positive is that you'll meet great people. It feels like that's the only thing I can think of.
That was one thing. And it's something I stuck by from... I remember telling you this in the... in the end of the first year and end of the second year, end of the third year, I think I've told you constantly is one thing. I truly believe it. It's the friends you meet at uni will be the people, they're the people you'll spend the rest of your life with. Like, the true friends you meet will be the people you meet at uni.
I think that's really fair. Like, I think because you're really in the trenches with them. If that, I know that's like a really extreme.
No, because I think that's probably the best way to put it. Because no one will see you as vulnerable as you were when you were in that, say, that moving in day of uni, or, you know, on that day they're a stranger, but looking back, like, you know, they're in the same boat as you. You'll always have like a bond.
Or like, you'll always feel like, I know it's gonna sound weird, like, you're always gonna feel like those people, like, sort of like you're saying, like they saw you at that so vulnerable stage.
Yeah.
That you'll never get lower. I mean, you will get lower, like, as life goes on.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I mean, like, okay, not of course, but that's life. But yeah.
I feel like to kind of generalize it is like, it doesn't hurt to even try, just even if you're only going for 1 year. Don't feel like you have to, like, stay on. If you love it, if you might go and think, I don't know what you guys are talking about, this was the best thing I've ever done in my life. And exactly. And you know, I hope.
And for I really the majority, hope. they are. Like, they're for the majority, it's the best years of their lives. And that's not to discredit mine, because obviously it does get better. Like, the highs, when the highs are there, the highs are incredible. But you can't discredit the lows. The lows are low.
Well, they did. Like I said, they're going to feel much lower than what they maybe are. Like, you're going to look back at them.
Yeah.
There are some things I look back at, like I've said on this, and maybe the bed one, like, where I think, you know what? It was horrible, but, like, it's not like I died or how, or not that I lost anything that, like, I couldn't get back.
Well, you lost 4 days worth of sleep.
But I made up for that, trust me. In fact, you know what's funny? Is I think when I eventually did go to bed, I only slept for about 2 hours.
I remember that.
And I was raring to go.
Yeah. That's scary. Like, not scary, it's mad more than anything. Like, 4 days of sleep and it's all made up for within 2 hours.
One thing I do want to, like, say is just, like, and if this is maybe the last thing I'll say, but one thing that's going to take a massive nosedive when you do go to uni is your health.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
When I started uni, I was in not the best of shape, but I was in pretty good shape.
If I could, oh man, if I could put a before and after photo on you.
By the end, Jesus. I don't think, I used to struggle walking up the stairs. Like,
I don't even know. I went up 2 shirt sizes since I started uni.
Wow, I didn't go up any. I'm still a medium or a small. Like, yeah. I'm usually a small. I usually differ between them.
Yeah, so that summer, I was summer going up, so it was September. I was a large, and then halfway through the second year, went into double XL.
There's a picture of you, yeah, in the first night you would have been there, or the Welcome to Wales thing that we went to.
Yeah.
And I saw you, and I didn't even know it was you. I know this is going to sound horrible, and I don't want it to sound horrible. Right.
No, it doesn't.
Because it's a faraway picture.
I'm working on it, yeah.
It's a group photo, and you were stood next to me, and I was like, who's that? And then I looked closer, and I thought,
my God.
That is somebody I know. And I feel like people are going to be like, you're the biggest piece of shit for saying that ever.
No. Well, I'm defending you on this.
It shows it's a fact. Like, I was like, it wasn't like, I'm not saying that like you would think, but it was like, but it wasn't just that. It was like your face looked completely different, everything about you. Whereas if you look at a picture of me, besides the fact that now
not
I have a beard,
much has changed. Like, yeah,
like I got a bit bigger. But there were some people that like they drastically change.
I'll put my hand at, like, I've drastically changed in theory.
Oh, there was lots of people.
Like, honestly, like, could you? on a reel, could you imagine me without a shitty beard now?
Yeah, I always hated your beard. It was
that was a lack of shits given. Like,
oh, we'll get to you know what? We might have like, an entire that. Thing just for your beard in the third year recap, like because I need to have words.
It
about
just
that
got one. Out of control, didn't it?
It wasn't Man. Like it was bad. It was like you'd just given up, which is worse.
Yeah, Nick, that's the thing though. That's oh man, spoiler for that third year: ups and downs. Mostly downs towards the end. Put it that way.
Well, yeah, that first year. Like, wow. Looking back on it, it's like hell of a trip.
80 minute. Yeah, was it 80 minutes of damn. Just damn, I can't just okay, here we go. Describe that first year for you in one word. Could you?
Enlightening.
Shock. That's mine.
It was shock. Like,
just a shock. Yeah.
Like I say, it felt like I'd been uprooted and stuck somewhere and then said, okay, here's a stick, here's a stone, make fire in the house, you know what I mean?
Yeah. As yeah, no. As dramatic as it sounds, it's true.
Like I feel like if I was right, if I was a person, I was in that first year of uni. Now, I don't know how I'd be able to like live type gig because it
function.
Was yeah, function's a better word. Yeah, like not that I was depressed or anything, but it's like I don't know how I'd be able to kind of exist. Because looking back on it, like, I loved the first year, but I also thought, you know what, you should have done something. You should have spent more time in the gym. You should have.
Yeah.
You should have volunteered, you know, even silly little things like that. You should have done something with your time, not just sit on your ass, which is what I did for 300 days. You shouldn't have just wasted all your money on FIFA coins like I did.
Oh, like I did.
Yeah. I mean, you were worse than me, but I wasted some money.
No, it was fine until we found that site with like the million coins for like £5.
Oh, I was spending so much. I was opening so many fights. But I remember, do you know how I knew you were so bad at it? Was because there were nights when we would go out and you would rather sit in and open packs on FIFA. And that's when I realised, I am glad that that's not me.
No.
As harsh as it sounds but it was like
it was so true. There was points when I was like so invested, I'm gonna be the next big streamer. That was in my head. That's all I had. Like I have to buy coins because I'm gonna be this next big thing.
No. To be fair, man, I remember I did some challenges because you. I don't know if you want to talk about it. Like you kind of
feel free. I'm go for it. Yeah,
I feel like it is a big part because that was like one of your kind of things for the first year. Yeah.
That was one of my first year like ambitions.
Like you didn't know whether you wanted to be like a streamer or a YouTuber, and you kind of were doing both. And you were kind of just like, we did some really fun things though, like the challenges that you did.
Yeah. Oh man, some of those challenges.
It's like I regret because like we haven't got any of that stuff now. It's like,
nah. I swear I can't remember if I part of me thinks I've privated them somewhere, but I don't know like the account details to even like log in to find out if they're private or not.
It's weird, isn't it? There were so many.
Because I think we had like the whipped cream one where we got like a shitload of whipped cream and a plate each, and if you got a question wrong about it, it's like a how well do you know me challenge. That was good fun. What else was it? Try not to laugh.
Yeah.
Where I just lost. I just lost my shit on the first one.
Yeah, you didn't. I don't even think I laughed once. I was mad at you for really that. I was like, look, we haven't even started.
I'm just pissing myself already. Man, you know my favourite one?
Well,
was the Doritos pack opening we did. The super hot Doritos one. Because it was so fake.
To be fair,
but it looked so real.
I thought these are going to be boiling, you know, they've got Tabasco in them.
Actually going to be mad, like, yeah.
And then I remember you took the first one, I remember, and this is kind of like a behind-the-scenes thing. I remember you saying, I think I've just got a hot one, it's not hot. And I was like, what do you mean it's not hot? I was like, well, you probably just got a normal
like,
one.
Rude. No, I was like, no, dude, these are shit.
And then you turn the camera and you're like, oh, it's so hot.
Oh, my God, it's so hot.
Get me the water.
Every YouTube video ever. It's remember, like... you forced yourself to cry in that video, didn't you?
Because
they were so hot.
I tell you, I made myself cry as well. You know, I've got a really horrible hamstring. I nipped underneath it.
Oh, no.
I nipped underneath the thing to make it look like I was in agony, which I probably was actually. I didn't like sitting down.
No.
But one of my biggest things I regret about that entire first year is we don't have any photos now because we all changed phones and didn't back anything up.
Dude, I've got the ones I sent you the other day and that's it.
I had.
That really upsets me.
As you can see, I had a Nokia, and it was a Nokia that was the Nokia that had the 40-something megapixel camera.
The Nokia,
yeah,
as we all refer to it now.
I had Nokias all my life, but this was like the best thing at taking photos ever.
Nokia, yeah.
Well, the Nokia I dropped and cracked around Christmas.
On New Year's Eve.
And I didn't even care.
New Year's Eve in Penny Black.
Yep, I did not even care.
I was like, all right, I've got insurance. And I was like, okay.
But then when I rang up my insurance, I was like, oh, look, I need to get my... Like, I actually really do need to get it fixed now.
This phone doesn't exist anymore.
Rather than just repair the phone, they were like, oh, sorry, that phone doesn't actually get made anymore. We're going to give you a new one. And I was like, it's a cracked screen. Can you not just get some glass and crack it? And he was like, no, you can have a Samsung or you can have an Apple or you can have something else. And I was like, so you're not going to offer me another Nokia? And he was like, no.
No, they don't really sell them anymore.
And then instead of being like smart and sending everything to you guys through WhatsApp or whatever, I just...
We didn't really think about it though, did it? You don't tend to.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, I know people who have thousands of photos that they backed up.
Yeah.
And we didn't even back up 10.
There's a guy in work with me, and he uses Facebook just to store photos. He doesn't use it, like, to be social. He just has all of his photos on it.
Oh, some people do. Like,
that got me thinking. I'm tempted to make one. Like, yeah, pretty much what he does. He privates them, and then that's his, like, photo album.
Here's the thing. Oh, if I had all those images, like, you know, they're memories, and we'll never get them back. We have nothing for them now.
That's the really upsetting part. And that's just upsetting more than anything, isn't it?
No, but that first year.
Yeah.
Looking back. I mean, I don't really think there's much more to say on it. Like, unless you actually.
I was going to say, there's not really much left to say, to be honest. Like, that first year of uni is what you make of it. If you are going to recluse in your room, you will not have the experiences. Like, okay, everything majority of you are probably thinking, like, why the fuck would I want to go to uni after everything you guys have just said? Again, that's our experience. Like, you aren't necessarily going to have these problems at all. Like, if you find the right people, if you be outgoing, if you be yourself, then you'll be fine. If you join societies and just take a chance and do everything, then you'll be okay.
Here's another thing that we should say is, like, we've kind of slated it like all this. We did actually finish uni, so we did go back. So if it was as bad as maybe we've made it out to be, we wouldn't have gone back.
We wouldn't have stuck the whole thing out.
And like, and that's the thing is, like, maybe we're not looking through it with rose tinted glasses, because I don't think we are at all.
No. Like, I think we're giving you the brutal honesty of what we feel university was. We're not going to sugarcoat anything. We're not, like, not going to, oh my God, uni was the best thing ever and everyone should go. No. If you don't enjoy that first year, then don't go back. Simple.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, you couldn't put it any better. Try it. You'll always regret it if you don't.
Exactly. And the crazy thing for me, out of everything, is I haven't seen any benefits of uni until this past 3 days.
I'd be lying if I said I had. I don't think I've seen any yet.
That's something I suppose we can get into on another episode.
Yeah, I imagine that's your kind of your recap and looking there.
Yeah. But yeah, coming up on an hour and a half.
It's been a lot of good stuff to talk about. It's all been relevant, though.
Oh, God, yeah. It's been amazing. So, I imagine, I think we're definitely going to get into year two in the next one, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's going to be crazy. I don't even know. Yeah. Looking back, it's all coming to me.
Yeah, there's your spoiler right there. Right, so thank you very much for listening, if you've made it this far. I don't know how these kind of things work, so I'm just going to sign out like a YouTuber. Leave a like, subscribe. if you have enjoyed it, feel free to follow us, and we'll be getting year two out pretty soon, maybe.
Yeah,
in the next couple of weeks or so, definitely, yeah. All right, so thank you very much for listening. And any sign-off catchphrase you want to use?
Nope, just year two is crazy.
Year two is crazy, right. Thank you very much.